Guess so, we're ready to start.
I guess we are ready for part 5 of Matters of Life and Death.
Yes.
Here is our Greg.
Thank you. Well, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where we were last week. And I want to just review some of this in light of the fact that we are going to get new bodies when Christ gathers us together. Things that we have covered so far, we looked at some verses that talk about what happens when a person dies and what death means, and we found out that the dead really does mean dead. It means loss of life or lack of life, that the dead are they're dead, they're unconscious, they're not aware that they're even dead, but that they will get up again. And we looked at the resurrections that are in the future that Jesus Christ spoke about, that Daniel the prophet wrote about, when the dead shall be raised and shall be judged. We also saw that there is a time where some of the dead will be raised apart from those resurrections, and that has to do with those of us that are born again, that have believed in Jesus Christ. And since the day of Pentecost up until the gathering together, not all of us will be dead at the time that he comes back. Right? So it's not technically one of the resurrections, but dead people will be raised, a lot of them, at that time. And it talks about that in 1 Thessalonians 4, where we're going to read. And starting in verse 13, it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Those that have no hope have a lot of sorrow, but not us. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we do, even so, them also which sleep," and the word "in Jesus" should be "through Jesus," "will God bring with him." So those that are sleeping that believe that Jesus died and rose again, through Jesus will God bring with Jesus. Okay? And then it's going to explain how that's going to happen. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." It means they're not making it up. They've been told to say this. "That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump," or the trumpet of God, "and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So when will the dead in Christ rise?
First,
but after the trumpet and the shout, okay? When the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. And I love the way that's worded, because it's not going to be just a vision of him. It's not going to be like a revelation picture. The Lord himself will come from heaven, and he's going to descend from heaven. Not coming all the way down to earth yet at this point. Okay? It says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven," so he's coming down, "with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and at that time the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then, very shortly after that, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air," or for a meeting with the Lord in the air. So all that have died that believed in Christ, they'll get up, won't be dead anymore. They're going to be taken up to meet the Lord in the air. Those of us that are alive at the time, as soon as that's done, we are going to be taken up and meet the Lord in the air. And it says at the end of verse 17, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." That's a very important phrase. This is the manner in which, that's what the word so means, in this manner shall we ever be with the Lord. So those that are dead are not yet with the Lord. They're dead. Okay, now God is keeping track of everyone. He knows who every person is that ever lived. So as far as God is concerned, their identity is preserved, but they are not conscious. They are not like alive enough in heaven. Otherwise, they wouldn't rise, would they? It says the dead in Christ shall rise. It doesn't say that they will descend with Jesus. They will rise when Jesus descends. Right? The dead in Christ shall rise. They're going up because they start out down. They're going to rise. And then we which are alive, we will be caught up. It's like we're going to be grabbed. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, ready or not, the trumpet and the shout, and there you go. You're taken up. You're snatched up. There's no choice to make at that point. The choice that we made is that we believed that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then he's telling us in advance, when this happens, it's going to be so sudden that you're just going to be snatched up wherever you happen to be. And in this manner shall we ever be with the Lord. Now the word ever means at all times. So from that moment, we will ever, at all times, be with the Lord. Wherever he is, we will be. Wherever he goes, we will go. Okay? And then it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So there aren't other words to comfort people. We don't want to comfort people just by telling them what they would like to hear. God said to comfort one another with these words. These ones. Now, you have to ask the question then, if the dead are going to be raised, how's that going to, what are they going to look like? Are they, you know, some people think, it's like zombies that are decomposed and all that stuff. But the question is asked and is also answered in 1 Corinthians 15. We've looked at this before, but I want to look at it again. So when you do biblical research, you don't have want to be adverse to reading the same scriptures again and again and again. Because the scriptures are faithful, and sometimes you see something this time that you didn't see last time. Even though it was there all along, it depends on what questions you're asking many times. So right now we want to find out in what manner are the dead raised. Because the question is asked in verse 35. Says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? And then it answers the question by first saying, thou fool. And the reason why it says that is because the question is asked in the context and the manner of someone who doesn't believe in the resurrection. That's what how the whole chapter starts out, that there are some among them at Corinth that didn't believe in the fact of the resurrection of the dead. He said, well, if that's not true, then Christ was never raised up because he died. And if the dead don't rise, then he's still dead. And we're not saved. But good news, Christ was raised up. And we are saved. So now to answer the question of how are the dead raised up, verse 36 says, thou fool, that which thou sowest, plant a seed in the ground, is not quickened except it die. The word quickened means made alive. So a seed is not made alive, like turns into a plant, unless the seed dies. Right? And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another of flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. They look different. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory, in the way they appear. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, a body that will just decay and decompose. It is raised in incorruption. When it's raised up, it will not be a body that is going to decompose. It's going to last forever. Because it says we're going to be ever with the Lord, right? How long is ever? It's, well, as long as he's around, and he's around forever, right? It's got to be a body that will last forever. Never die. Never even get sick again. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It means a body that has a soul, breathing soul life. It is raised a spiritual body. The new body will have a different kind of power in it than breathing oxygen into the blood. Right? We'll learn more about this. But that's a good point. It's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Jesus Christ has one. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So the bodies we have now, we have a living soul. It lives, it survives. But the new bodies will have not just a living soul, but a life-giving spirit. A spirit that gives life to the body, not just allows the body to live. You see, there's a difference. One is survives until it dies. The other one continues to generate life. Howbeit, that which, we're in verse 46, that which is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. Adam was made out of the dust of the ground, remember? The second Adam is the Lord from heaven, Jesus Christ. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, like us. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly, like Jesus Christ. And what we will have. And as we have borne or carried the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. There's a wonderful promise for us. We're not stuck with these kinds of bodies forever. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, verse 50, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So these bodies that we have, this kind of body with flesh and blood, this is not what is going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of heaven is an everlasting kingdom. It requires a king who's going to reign forever. Never a change of administration, you know, where you have a new king because the old one died. Jesus Christ is going to be king forever. And he's going to reign over people that will live forever. That's what the kingdom of God is going to be like. And neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. I'm going to tell you a secret. And this is something that had not been revealed in prior ages, prior periods of time. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's why the gathering together that we read about in 1 Thessalonians 4 is not one of the resurrections that was foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus Christ, when he spoke of the resurrections, was not speaking of the gathering together of which we are a part. Okay? When he was talking about, you know, there'd be two in the field, one taken and one left, he's not talking about the gathering together that we're going to be part of. He's talking about something else that's going to happen in the future. Okay? That which pertains to the church, you will not read about this in the Old Testament or the Gospels. Because it says, I show you a mystery. It was hidden. What's going to happen with us? Okay? It was known that there would be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. It was not known that there would be a gathering together where some are alive and others dead at the time. But it's revealed here. It's revealed in 1 Thessalonians 4 where we read. And this is important information for us to know. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. and we, the living, shall be changed, just like it said in 1 Thessalonians 4. Okay? For this corruptible, those that are dead, must put on incorruption. They're going to wake up, and they'll have new bodies that will not corrupt. And this mortal, those that are living and subject to death, must put on immortality, not subject to death. Bodies that will not die, cannot die. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, that's the dead being raised, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, that's the living being changed, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That hasn't happened yet. Death is not yet swallowed up in victory in actual manifestation. It will be at this time. Because it says, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So, let's go to Philippians 3. The next question is, because that answered the question, how are the dead raised? With new bodies. The bodies will be changed. Okay, whether they're living or dead, they're going to be changed into something that's incorruptible and immortal. So we will not be raised up with the same bodies that we died with. Okay. And it's not that these bodies are swapped out for another one. They're changed into the new ones. Okay? That's also important to know. The ones that we have will be changed into the new ones. We'll still have substance, you know, still solid things. There will be spiritual bodies, but that doesn't mean they're made entirely of spirit. They'll be powered by spirit, but they will, we'll see it, you know, because the next question is, what are these new bodies going to be like? Okay? To answer that question, Philippians 3, Philippians 3 at the end of the chapter says, look at verse 20 and verse 21, says, for our conversation, the word conversation here means citizenship, is in heaven, the heavenly realm, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we do. I mean, no matter what we're doing, we're always on the lookout. Where's that trumpet? Where's that shout? We know he's coming. The Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it, our body, may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So he's going to take whatever bodies we have and change them. Okay? So you're not going to leave this body behind somewhere. Nobody will find your bones after this happens. Your teeth will not be lying on the ground unless you had dentures or something. That they might be left behind, but the body that you have won't be lying around somewhere.
Would we get new ones?
Yeah, new dentures.
It'd be raining all over the teeth. Something just
blind
bit
pictures.
Me.
Glasses, contact lenses. Pocket change, whatever.
Right. New teeth.
But look at exactly what it says. Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. And vile just means humble. It doesn't mean disgusting or gross. It just means humble. That the humble body that we have, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He is able to do this. Think, well, why don't you do it now? You know? He's going to do it at the proper time. All at once, when it's the right time to do it. Okay? Look at 1 John chapter 3. First epistle of John in the back. After 2 Peter. First John chapter 3, the first few verses here. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." That's a present tense reality. We don't have to wait for that. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be." This is something we do have to wait for. "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." When he appears, well, first he's going to appear to us, the believers. The dead are going to be raised, the living are going to be changed, we're all going to meet him in the air. Then, after a period of time being with him in the clouds, in the air, he's going to appear to everybody. He's going to physically come back down to earth. When he appears, we will be with him, and we're going to be like him. Okay? When he appears to the whole world, we will be right by his side, and we will be like he is. Okay? Because our bodies will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Also says this in Colossians chapter 3, if you like to turn there. Colossians chapter 3, in verse 4, it says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." So when he comes back to earth, he's not coming back alone. He's coming back with, I don't know how many millions of believers there that have already been, plus those that are alive right now, and depending on how long it takes, there could be others that will believe after, there's going to be a big crowd of people, all that look kind of like him. He's obviously going to be the leader of the pack, and he's going to be coming in on his white horse, but he's going to be coming with the armies of heaven. Well, we will have been gathered together in heaven with him, and we're going to be ever with the Lord. So when he comes on his white horse with the armies, well, who's in that army? Those that are ever with the Lord, right? I'm not making this up, I'm just saying what the word says, that we shall ever be with the Lord from the time of the gathering together and future. So we have to be with him when he comes back. And we will appear with him in glory, it says right here. So when he makes his appearance, his entrance, we'll appear with him. Our bodies will have been changed at that point. Now, another question. What's his body like since he got up from the dead? Well, we don't know everything about it, because nobody's taking them into the examining room with the tongue depressor and the stethoscope and taking any notes. But we do know a few things from the scriptures. And one of the places that spends the most time talking about this is in Luke chapter 24. So we'll look at this. We'll look a little bit at the Gospel of John too. But in Luke 24, it gives more information than it does in Matthew and Mark. I've read those. And just to save a little time, I'm going to skip those because they don't cover anything that Luke doesn't. In chapter 24, this is after the crucifixion. He's been dead, he's been buried. Now we know Joseph of Arimathea took the body of Jesus Christ and laid it in his own tomb. And it says he wrapped it in a linen cloth. It also says that Nicodemus took spices and grave wrappings and gave him the traditional Jewish burial, which would have been wrapped up kind of like a mummy in strips of cloth, like when Lazarus was raised from the dead. he was bound hand and foot in the grave wrappings, and Jesus Christ said, loose him and let him go free. Because he had to kind of hop out of there when he was raised up. So he was wrapped up in these strips of cloth. In verse 12, I want to start here because what happened is the women went to the grave because they didn't know that he had been given the proper burial by Nicodemus right before sundown. So they went, they got the spices and things. And they didn't have cell phones and stuff back then. And Nicodemus didn't tell everybody what he did. So they thought, we better do the job. So they went back to the tomb and found that the stone was rolled away. And they saw some angels there that said, you're looking for Jesus? He's not here. He's risen. Like he told you he would. Go back and tell his disciples. So they told the disciples. And the disciples didn't believe him. But they went to the tomb. And in verse 12, it says, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher. Says, I got to check this out for myself. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves. And he departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So what did he see? Where the body had been, the wrappings were still there. The wrappings were still there, but laying flat. The body was gone out of the wrappings. So when Jesus Christ got up from the dead, the old body that he had before was transformed into the new one. The old one wasn't left behind. That's why they will never find the bones of Jesus Christ. And if some archaeologist claims to have found the bones of Jesus Christ, they're mistaken or they're lying because they're not on earth anywhere. Whatever was left of Jesus' body was transformed into the new one. Okay? Nothing left behind. Now, verse 15. There was a couple that went to Emmaus. Just down the road there. And they were talking with each other, and Jesus Christ came by. Verse 15 says, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And just like it said, the Lord himself shall descend. Jesus himself. This was him himself. Okay? This was not a hologram or a revelation of Jesus. It was him himself. He was on his feet. He walked to where they were. They could see him. It says, now it does say, verse 16, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So somehow he, and the word holden means forced, so that they would not recognize him. So he had the ability to make people not be able to tell who he was when he wanted to. I don't know. But for some reason, it says their eyes were holden or forced that they should not know him or recognize him. And he talked to him. He said, hey, what manner of communications are these? Or it means, what are you talking about? And why are you so sad? And they explain it to him. They told him all about this Jesus of Nazareth, not realizing that he's the one. He must have just been amused. So they're telling me all about me and what happened to me, but how, you know, we had trusted that he was like the one, the Messiah, and that now he's dead and it's been 3 days already. So let's skip down to verse 25. After they explained everything from their point of view, he said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Don't you realize from the scriptures it was necessary? Everything that happened was supposed to happen for the Messiah. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wouldn't you love to be at that little three-person fellowship and hear Jesus Christ explain from the scriptures everything about himself. And they drew nigh to the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. They asked him repeatedly, saying, "Oh, abide with us, please, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass that as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And then, says, their eyes were opened, and they knew him. I said, "Oh, my goodness, it's been him all along." And they said, "Boy, we must have sounded pretty stupid, too." I would have been very embarrassed at that point to realize it was him. But their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So, don't know how he did it, but he disappeared out of their sight. And then they said one to another, "Didn't our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Said, "Wow." And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed." They told, the 11 told the two there, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." Now the word "appeared" doesn't mean like it, just an apparition. The Greek word means he was seen of Simon. Simon saw him. So he was seen of Simon, Peter. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, the words still coming out of the mouth, Jesus himself, again, it always says that here when he appears, that it was him himself, not an apparition. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them as they were speaking, just like right in the middle of them. Nobody saw him come in, but there he was. But he was there. So these new bodies, they're going to have some pretty cool capabilities. But Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen what? A spirit. They supposed that what they were seeing was some spirit apparition, that it wasn't a real human being, but a spirit appearing to be a human being. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" He knew what they were thinking. Or could just tell by the look on their face. Like. But look at verse 39. "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." So he had a body, and I would say still has a body, that has flesh and bones. That his body is not made of spirit and just appears, but it has flesh and bones. His body is not a spirit. It's powered by spirit, right? The life-giving spirit in a body of flesh and bones. Now remember, it said flesh and blood do not inherit the kingdom of God. But it doesn't say flesh and bones don't, because he has flesh and bones. And he said, "It's I myself. It's me." Where his consciousness was right where his body was, you see? And says, "It's me. Look. Feel it. Solid flesh and bones." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat? Got anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. I'm very happy about this, that the new bodies will be able to eat. You know? I don't know that they will have to eat to survive, because they're eternal life, right? but able to eat, because he ate, and it doesn't say that there was a pile of broiled fish and honeycomb on the floor when he left. Right? He ate it. It went into his body. And I just think that is really, really cool. And then he spent some time with them, opened the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And verse 46 says, thus it is written, and thus it behooved, means it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So where was he for 3 days? Dead. Jesus was dead. He was dead. He was not conscious. He was not... It wasn't that his soul left his body and was... You know, I've read all kinds of things, people theorizing what happened during those 3 days. Because he said he was in hell. So I read someone says, he was battling out with the devil down in hell during those 3 days. No, he was dead. He wasn't conscious. He wasn't aware. It's like a blink of an eye and he woke up. But it was 3 days later. Okay? He was dead. Because it says it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. The word witness means martyr. It's the Greek word for martyr. Martyr means the witness. It doesn't mean someone that dies necessarily, but a witness. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. He was carried up into heaven. Okay, and that's where he still is. Now, it doesn't say he flew like Superman up, up, and away. But he was carried up. So, it doesn't say. But it says he was carried. It wasn't, he didn't like just jump up and keep going, but he was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. The other place it talks about this new body is in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. We'll see what we can learn there. But just remember, the bodies we have will be like his. John 20, look at verse 19. And this is the day that he got up from the dead. In fact, he had met Mary Magdalene. Look at verse... Gospel of John, chapter 20. It says, the women went to the tomb, and Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. In verse 15, Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, if you've carried him somewhere, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, O Rabboni, which is to say master or teacher. And Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Yeah, I started in verse 15. I'm in verse 17 now. At this time, Jesus Christ said, touch me not. I have not yet ascended unto my Father. And that ascending to the Father, it doesn't have to do with the ascension 40 days later, where he was carried up into heaven. Because at other times, after he got up from the dead, before he ascended, he did let people touch him. So this would have to do with presenting himself in the temple before God as the first fruits offering. Just a little side note there. But otherwise, nobody would have been able to touch him. Not just Mary, right? So he said, don't touch me, I have not yet ascended to my Father. But later on, he said, handle me, you know, flesh and bones, right? He said, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Was Jesus Christ God himself? No, he never was. He said, I ascend to my God and your God. So Jesus considers God his God. You know, he's the Son of God. Now Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, which means locked, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, peace be unto you. It's like we read in Luke chapter 24. Right in the middle of them, doors locked, somehow he got through. So whatever this body is, it can go through locked doors and walls and stuff. Pretty slick. I don't think we'll have a lot of transportation issues and needs back then. We'll be able to get around and get where we need to go. Now, when he had so said, verse 20, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And he, you know, taught him some things about receiving the Holy Spirit. And then, verse 24, it says, Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He's pretty stubborn. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, just like last time. Surprise entrance. And he said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, hey Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. You can poke your finger right through. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless or unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now that still didn't make Jesus God, but that was a term of respect. My Lord and my God. It's like, ugh. It's like, you're the one. I feel this big right now. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe, you the reader, might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So, pretty cool to know why this book was written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is the Christ. So, I don't know if 2,000 years later he still has the holes in his hands or not, but at that time when he showed himself, he said, yeah, look, here's the proof that you need, Thomas. It's really me. We do know that we will know who we ourselves are. We will have that self-awareness. Like when it said, Jesus himself drew near. Jesus himself stood in the midst. It'll be Fran herself in her brand new body that will be wherever she is, okay? With flesh and bones, and apparently able to walk through walls and stuff. So that's a little bit about what's going to happen. The dead are going to be raised. The dead believers in Christ will be raised. When the trumpet sounds and the archangel shouts, when Jesus Christ descends from heaven, The dead will be raised, meet him in the air. Those that are alive, wherever they are on earth, will be taken up to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And from that time, our bodies will have been changed to be like his. Don't know how long exactly we're going to be with him in the air. It's going to be at least a few years. But when he comes down, makes his grand entrance to confront the Antichrist and lock up the devil for 1,000 years, raise up the people who'd been beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, when he comes down to do that, we will be with him. When he's reigning on earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we're going to be with him, right? When the devil rounds up the armies to fight against him, we're going to be with Jesus Christ. When the rest of the dead are raised and judged, we're not going to be judged at that time. We will be with Jesus Christ, already judged righteous before God. In the new heaven and earth, after this whole thing is, you know, says the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where dwelleth righteousness, there'll be others outside those in the church that had been at the gathering. There'll be others from the Old Testament times and after the gathering that will be also have eternal life, but we will all be together with God and Jesus Christ forever and ever, and with new bodies that will last forever and ever, and we'll be able to eat.
So, and I'm sure, not just fish and honeycomb.
Yeah, whatever God sets before us, we'll be thankful to have. So, that's a little bit about the gathering and the new bodies.